Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277 and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, and we've had a lovely tweet from Tracy, who's listening in while she makes her creative works of art. She says, thank you for the great Business Bunker shout-out, and she's very avidly used the BBunker hashtag. She says, thank you both for all your continued support and encouragement. It's been a time of reflection, a new direction for me this year, and I appreciate your supportive words. They really mean a lot. Wishing you and everyone else a very happy festive season.
Thank you, Tracy. Happy Christmas to you, Mike, and the family. I've had a tweet also from Orbital Internet.
Yes, hello.
Hello, they say Jules and Paul. Why don't you put her first? Come on, what's the matter with them?
You know.
Jules and Paul, Orbital Net would like to wish you season's greetings and a prosperous new year on the Business Bunker Show. Well, thank you so much, guys. And likewise, I hope you have a fantastic 2024.
Yeah, and you can find them on orbital.net. I like their website. It's easy, isn't it? Orbital.net.
Yep, absolutely.
Sarah Marsh Collins says, you've really taken off this year, Tracy. She's talking to Tracy, Tazy 64. So lovely to see, and I just love the Plucky's World cards. They're brilliant and inspired. Merry Christmas, and here's to a stonking 2024.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up is a mindful guided walk for wellness. And the walk is between Herne Bay and Minas Bay, which is approximately 9 miles. It's taking place on Saturday the 6th of January. It leaves from Herne Bay Pier at 10:15 a.m. And if you want to find out more, there's an Eventbrite page where you can find out more and book a place. It's eventbrite.co.uk, Mindful Guided Walk for Wellness, Herne Bay. Eventbrite.co.uk, Mindful Guided Walk for Wellness, Herne Bay. Check it out. That's with Bethany Nightingale.
Who was on our show last week.
She was indeed. Yep. So that's a Mindful Guided Walk for Wellness. So check it out, 6th of January.
We have storytellers who are connecting through art. The Power of Stories, a captivating group it's curated by the lovely Natalie Benes and Kent Creative, celebrating the connection between art and storytelling. It's set to open in the Beanies special exhibition gallery this winter through the works 23 Kent-based contemporary artists across various disciplines. Explore the idea that artworks convey narratives, trigger emotions, and inspire discussions. The artist talks will take place during the exhibition for opportunities to listen to their stories and ask questions. You can go to www.ticketsource.co.uk/Kent Creative, and they will be at the Beanie House of Art and Knowledge, Canterbury, on the 2nd of December onwards until the 25th of February next year. And admission, they say, is free. So what's not to like? Go and get down there.
Fantastic.
The exhibition, it goes on, invites visitors to delve into the diverse narratives embedded within each artwork. Visitors will also have the opportunity to access these narratives through written descriptions and audio files of the artist. Justin, discussing their work. So the artists will be discussing their work on audio, offering an intimate glimpse. Pause there. An intimate glimpse into the thoughts, emotions, and inspirations that fueled their works. The immersive experience will provide a deeper understanding of the artist's intentions and the stories they want to share. And as ever, all details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Go along and listen to all these artists and give Natalie Benes a big hello.
Absolutely. There's Tunbridge Wells Networking taking place this Thursday, the 21st of December. We hope you can join us for our last third Thursday's networking meeting of 2023 at Sankey's Seafood Kitchen and Bar. Situated in a Victorian manor house on Mount Ephraim in the heart of Tunbridge Wells, the Seafood Kitchen and Bar follows in the family's tradition of running great pubs and restaurants. Councillor Matthew Sankey, owner of Sankey's and Tunbridge Wells Borough Council's small business champion, will be giving a short talk York. We're also delighted to welcome Jenny Kitchen and Pete Kenyon to talk about the launch of Amplify.tw. That's December the 21st, this Thursday, 10:30 till 12. The details and booking can be made by going to kempisradio.co.uk/calendar.
And we have a new multi-million pound surgical centre set to open soon. It's going to create about 200 jobs, which is really good. Mm. It's the orthopaedic hub at Maidstone Hospital in Hermitage Lane, which will start treating patients in spring next year. The centre behind the main hospital building will provide 3 state-of-the-art operating theatres and 24 surgical beds. It will expand Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells NHS Trust's capacity for routine orthopaedic operations, including for more than 2,000 extra knee and hip replacements every year. So I say hip, hip, hooray to that.
Oh, well done. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Cool. On that note, we shall stop listening to you and start listening to somebody else.
Yes, Justin. Let's talk to him.
Yeah. Justin's pointing at the microphone. Say something,
oh,
Justin.
Oh, can we swap?
1-2, 1-2.
Are you hearing him?
1-2, 1-2.
No.
Okay, so it must be this bit.
That's a different mic.
Yes, it must be that plug-in. See, the, our guests have to do all their own. That's there we are.
Yeah.
Better. So, just
you plug that one in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I probably won't work, it's but then...
Stuck. No, leave that. That's your headphones.
It doesn't go down. Oh.
We're having a microphone war now.
Hello, testing.
Right. No, that one's not working either.
No.
No. So there's two of them not working.
Come in and do everything. You notice? Lucky he's a techie.
Right.
Okay, so go over to Dexter's, I think, yeah. Justin.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Right, yeah. Yep. What are you plugged into? The green one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So those will work. It's just the pink one that doesn't work at the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Right, anyway, Justin.
Hello.
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 Yeah, well, that was fun, wasn't it?
You have to do everything, Justin.
Oh, no, yeah.
He's a techie.
You know, I am a techie.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Justin back onto the show. It's ages since you were last on. And funnily enough, of all two things, I just remembered something. But two things, I think the last time you were on was a Christmas show as well.
No.
I've certainly got a picture of you in a Santa Claus.
That was the first ever ever show I was on was a Christmas show.
Right.
That was 2014.
2014. In fact, I've still got a photo of you somewhere. I was trying to find it, of you in this very same Christmas hat, which was unwashed at the time.
Mm. Is this the same hat?
Yeah, very same hat. No.
So your head hasn't got any bigger, Justin?
No. That's a good thing.
I've got a picture, I'll dig it out.
I've sent you those pictures, didn't we? We went through them the other week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
What, with the Christmas hats
on? Yeah, because they're in... Justin did a promotional...
I've been looking for it everywhere.
Justin did a promotional video, and one of the pictures in that is that. Mm. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing,
right,
Mr. Dean, I thought you were picking up mince pies on the way here.
Oh, yes.
Emily ate them all on the way.
Yeah. No, sorry.
Yeah, you
I apologise.
I was going to bring in some Heroes chocolates. But, of course, the badgers have all arrived at my house. Work from home. The chocolates have just disappeared. And most heard in my house now is, Mum, can I eat these or is that just for Christmas? And I sort of purse my lips and go, it was just for Christmas and it's all gone. The cheese board's gone, the crackers are gone, it's all gone.
Right.
So I've got to go out and buy it all again, really.
Yeah, yeah. You have to buy enough food for 27 days because the shops are closed for 12 hours, you know.
Mm. Do you remember in the old days, though, when we were growing up, Paul Andrews, it was real that the shops did close. And if you ran out of something, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it for the whole of Christmas. It was like a big deal.
Yeah.
And the turkey, I seem to remember, was a big thing to cook the turkey. Whereas now it doesn't really seem that difficult. But I can remember my mum, like, getting up at 5 a.m.
to put it on,
What was that about, then?
Yeah, well, gas was weaker then, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, we won't have gas soon, then, will we? We'll all be doing it with a Bunsen burner or something.
Yeah, you'll have to cook your turkey on a heat pump.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, can I introduce Justin now?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go on.
It's a pleasure to have you back on the show, Justin.
Thank you. Oh.
Justin is the brains behind Creative Motion, a video company, an AV, audiovisual company. And we wanted to talk to Jason. He's done some lovely promotional stuff for us, which you're going to see over the next couple of days that we're putting out. And he's also helping me because I'm building a video studio. And he's helping me with that, with his technical expertise. But give us a bit of background. Funnily enough, we have a little bit of a shared background, but
we
not
do.
At the same time.
Yes. Yeah.
Because he's quite a lot younger.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Quite a lot. Many years, I'd say.
Yeah.
Not that many. I'm 53?
That's quite a lot, then.
Yeah. Give us a bit of background to Justin.
I think with everything to do with video production or audiovisual, a lot of people that get into that have come from a background like a sound engineer or a cameraman, and then they end up getting into like live events and everything. Mine came from music. So I was about 12 years old, I think I was,
right.
And I just started at secondary school, and I walked into one of these common rooms, and I heard this music playing, and it was, I'd never heard anything like it before in my life.
It was
kind of electronic music. So it was the very first electro album, which was Electro Volume 1. And I absolutely fell in love with it all. And from that was like the analog age back then.
Yeah.
So it was from there that I kind of, it kind of progressed. I went to a few like parties and stuff, and there were DJs there and all of that sort of stuff. And I thought, these guys are rubbish. I can do a better job. And I was 13 at the time. And so I said to my dad, I said, I want a DJ set up, and I want to go and do some parties and charge. And I think we charge about £45 for the night, which was pretty good. Luckily, my parents have always run their own business, so they had vans and stuff like that, and so it's very easy to get all this kit
right
to these events. And it really went really well. It kind of like took off, and I started doing all these different parties.
So how do you dance to electronic music?
Eh?
How do you dance to electronic
I'm not going to show you.
Well, not while you're on air. You can't, because you're either...
What you do, Jules, is you wet your finger and stick it in a plug socket and then switch it on, and that gives you some idea of how
give
to move
an
to an electronic music.
Is it like John and Vangelis?
No. So electronic music then
was
went
it
on...
Head-bashing?
No. It went on to, dance... you know, like what you have in the charts now, which is dance music,
right.
All of that. It's electronic would be keyboards, yeah. Electronic drums,
yeah. Synthesizer.
Yeah.
So singing on it, or is it all?
There was some singing on it. You know, the first track that I ever listened to was Revenge of the Pac-Man. And it was absolutely great. It was brilliant. And this guy that was playing it, I got him to do me a recording of this cassette. And it was actually on a cassette tape. And I played it to death. I really did. And I did all the kind of like doing all the parties and all that. That went on for a while. And then it got to the point where, I mean, these were direct drive turntables. They weren't very good, to be fair.
Right.
And so then I moved on to the Technics 1210s, Mark IIs, the nice black ones, and started using them, and then started to learn how to properly DJ. And after a few years, I ended up actually DJing in clubs. I put my mixtapes out there. I ended up on a pirate radio station.
Were you still at school at this stage?
No. I'd left school at that point. So I think I was probably about 18.
Right.
So 17, 18, left school, got my new system and all of that. But I doing parties and all that was just hard work, you know.
Yeah, it's long hours.
Well, you have to get all the kit.
Call it all there.
Yeah, and it wasn't just the music. I actually enjoyed, you know, plugging all the kit together, you know, making everything work. So there was that fascination with... audio visual was
technical
all, yeah the technical
stuff,
side of it was already there. The music side of it was just part and parcel of it. So I ended up kind of not doing like the parties anymore and doing DJing instead. I got some really good club nights that I was doing. I was on a pirate radio station for about 2 years, 10 till 12.
What was the name?
It was Innocence FM.
Where were they based?
They were based in Woolwich Arsenal. Mm-hmm. And I had the 10 till 12 show every Saturday morning. Right. And at the time...
That's a good slot.
Yeah, my DJ name was DJ Rush. Mm-hmm. That was my DJ name. And I went on to play... arenas in front of 5,000 people, wow. Everything. A chance encounter with a friend of mine had a sister, and the sister's name was Stacey, who was DJ Stacey from Fantasy FM. Fantasy FM was one of the biggest rave operators, right. Back in the 85, massive they were. So he introduced me to his sister. I ended up then getting introduced to Chrome and Time, became very good friends with him.
What's Chrome and Time? Who's Chrome and Time?
Chrome was my idol. Okay. When I he was a DJ, a music producer, all of that sort of stuff. He was just great, and me and him just got on so well. He came to DJ at some of my events. I came to DJ at some of his events, and then he got me a guest spot at the Astoria Theatre. And now Astoria Theatre.
It's
gone now, though,
I know.
Obviously.
What is it now? A block of flats?
Yeah. No. It's office space now.
Oh God.
Yeah. So I got this spot on one of their big nights, and I was the first person on, so there wasn't too many people in the theatre, but I walked down there with Chrome and Stacey and DJ Rap and all of that, and I said, where's the DJ thing? And they went, 1 second, and he put his hand up like that, and then this DJ thing came down on like wires down to the floor, and I've got to get on that. And it was the hardest DJ set I've ever done, because you're kind of doing this, you know, and you're trying.
I hope you weren't seasick.
No, I wasn't. But you're trying to, you know, do all the DJ and stuff, and you're moving around like that. But I pulled it off. It was really good. And then from there, I think it was about 6-7 months later. At this point, I'd already built my own 24-track. Recording studio at my parents' house, and Chrome knew this, and he said, right, I've just brought out this new record. It's called The Slammer. I want you to do a remix of it. And I'm like, yes, okay, not a problem. So did the remix of that, ended up selling 6,000 copies, so yeah. It was really, really good. So my DJing career was you know, there. It was quite good. The funny thing is, I wanted to get into, you know, sound engineering and recording studios when I left school. But when I went to see the careers person, at Miskin College, and I said, right, I want to work in and learn recording studios. He went, right, okay, let me have a think. We do some recording studio stuff here. But it's only 10% of the coursework. And I'm like, okay, so what's the other 90%? Oh, you learn how to act. And I'm like, act? I don't want to learn how to act. I want to learn how to work the equipment. So I didn't do any of that. I didn't do it. There was nothing else around at the time, college courses or anything. Sound engineering, it just wasn't about. So I ended up training to be a motor mechanic for 2 years, which is useless really now. So I kind of ended up self-teaching myself,
yeah.
To the point when I knew that I'd be able to get a proper course, and it went on like that with the DJing and everything. And then I got to about my 20s, I think it was, and I managed, I found a college course in central London. That was the closest one I could find that did a sound engineering course, and it was Paddington School of Sound Engineering. It was
Paddington Bear.
Yes, Paddington Bear, yeah.
School of Sound.
Yeah, and I did the, you know, 3-year sound engineering course there, and it was really good. I you know, I learned everything. It was still analog, so it was learning how to cut tape.
Yeah.
And everything, and it was great fun. So passed all of that. At the same time, I started going out with this girl called Louise Cook. Hi, Louise. Still good friends with her now. And she introduced me to this guy called Graham Sharp. Now, he worked in live events. Now, it's kind of funny, the road that took.
Yeah.
So you were in at the sharp end by this time?
Sorry? Yes, yeah. And Graham, he just took me under his wing. He was another great friend, and he said, have you ever done any, like, live event AV work before? I went, I've worked in the studio, I'm very technically minded, I can pick things up just like that. It's, it, you know, just... you know, drop me in, and which he did. And before you knew it, two years later, I'm doing big live events. I'm, you know, we're talking festivals, all the live event stuff, all setting up all the speaker systems,
right,
all of that. And it was great fun. It was good, and I was just like a human sponge. Mm. You know, all the new technology was coming out. So it was really good. And then it got to the point where I thought, so I was doing that, but I was also doing conferences and bits and pieces. And I started freelancing for this company, and they had the contract for Goldman Sachs. So I did a few, you know, a few weeks here and there at Goldman Sachs. And it was around the same sort of time that I wanted to get a house. So at the time, you know, you needed a full-time job to get a house. So that was a quick way to do it. So I basically got a job at Goldman Sachs, and it was only meant to be for a year. 5 years later, I was still there. And
when did you work at Goldman?
I worked at Goldman Sachs from 1996 to 2001.
Right.
So, you know, good 5 years. And the company that I was working for, they had the contract. They were we were seconded to Goldman Sachs, and they lost the contract to Electrosonic, who are based in Dartford. And but because of Tupi laws, they couldn't sack me or anything like that. So what they did instead is they made my job role redundant. But I'd been there 5 years at this point. I was kind of like needed a bit of a change. So I walked out of there, went down to see my mate called Graham Massey, who owns Jacobs Massey, one of the biggest AV recruitment agencies in central London. I said, got any jobs? And he went, yep, just for you. And before I knew it, I was then looking after all the live events and everything for Sainsbury's. Head office in, I can't remember where it is. It's, in central London. Mm-hmm. And doing all of that sort of stuff. And right. And it just kind of progressed. It kind of went from there to that. And I just had my fingers and thumbs and toes in every single, you know, whatever I could get my hands on, I would do. And it was just really good fun.
Right.
And then, obviously, it got to the point where I thought, right, I'm freelance, but I've got a child on the way. You know, fast forward, you know, to...
it's your fault, Emily.
Yeah. fast forward a few years, you know, 2010, I thought, well, I'm freelance and it's great. Mm. I'm spending an awful lot of time away from home, and I was, and I thought, you know, I need to do something that's a bit more stable. So that's when Creative Motion was then born.
Okay.
And and then it's been, you know, 10, 12, 13 years now that we've been going, and things are going really, really well. So
nice.
It's been an interesting journey, and it just shows, you know, listening to Dexter, and He's just at the beginning of his journey, and he, you know, you're on the right path. You know what you're doing, yeah. And you've got everything that you need. You're so lucky.
Yeah,
you know, if it was so much harder, wasn't it? You know, back in those days, if you wanted to do something specialised, everybody went, well, I don't know.
Yeah, no chance.
No chance. Yeah. Well, how'd you do that then? Yeah. I haven't got a clue. Mm. So Yeah, it was good fun.
Nice one. So, we've got to Creative Motion.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to us the range of things that Creative Motion does.
Yes, okay. So, video production, which is full spectrum of video production projects from normal filming, motion graphics, animation, explainer videos, case study videos, you know, anything that can be filmed or created for video we can do. So we've got that side of stuff. And then we've also got live events, so audiovisual live event production. So that can be anything from audiovisual equipment hire to a big event, whatever. You know, we can go from very small to extremely large. And then we've got audiovisual installation work, that's permanent audiovisual, and then interactive design, which I love. Interactive design is just amazing. Okay. You know, when you walk into the Science Museum and you've got a big screen in front of you and you've got to touch it, and that's all like interactive design. And and I've done plenty of that as well over the years for the Science Museum and stuff. So it's if I put my finger on two things, it's more video production and live event production, really. It's that's where it's, you know, it interests me more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Has the advent of things like YouTube had a significant impact on your business in one way or the other?
In what way?
I just wondered if one in the early days where a lot of people come to you and go, I need a video. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And then two, a lot of people eventually go, nah, I don't need video, I can YouTube myself.
Well, it depends what you're going to be using it for.
Right.
You know, if you are just going to be filming yourself and putting it onto YouTube or social media, then that's fine. But if you want something that's going to be cut and it's going to be, you know, really bespoke and it's going to have that quality to it, then you'll go and see a video production company to do it properly.
Yeah.
It all depends what you're using it for. I mean, obviously Dexter does all of his own stuff, you know, but we also do some stuff for him as well. And it's a, you know, social media can be used in a lot of different ways, really. So it all depends. Mm. It all depends.
Yeah. Okay. So this range of stuff from, you know, small one-off custom jobs to large events.
Mm.
What's your favourite? What do you enjoy doing the most?
What, out of what, video?
Out of anything.
It's a bit of both. I love live events still. We just recently did the rebrand for Le Shuttle. When they did their big rebrand, you know, 30 years in the making, and we did that at the that place in Folkestone. What's that place in Folkestone? The Lees Cliff Hall.
Oh, Lees Cliff.
Right, yeah. So we did the event there. Mm. I've got a very good relationship with Eurotunnel and Le Shuttle now. I have had for like the last couple of years, really. Mm. And 2 weeks, you know, before it was meant to happen, they said, right, we've got to get this done. And I'm like, yep, not a problem. I enjoy doing live events because they're fun. It gets me out of the studio, to be fair. But I enjoy video production as well because it's getting creative.
You're a geek.
Yeah, I know.
You're a geek. He's a geek.
Absolutely. But I'm cool with it.
Cool geek.
Yeah, cool geek.
Yeah.
There's pretty much nothing that I can't work out or do. It's there's always, you know, if you want to create something, just come to us and we can just do anything, really, at the end of the day.
Where's the technology going, do you think, Justin?
Obviously artificial intelligence. You know, we all hear about how it's changing things, and it is already changing things in the, you know, video production world. Mm. You know, from script writing. I mean, I can write a script very easily, and it's going to pretty much look okay. Mm. But artificial intelligence now is pretty much there where it will be able to put the whole video together. So it's still going to need somebody to make sure it's all working out all right, but you're just going to end up charging that back to the client anyway. So it's not like, there's so many people getting worried, oh, I'm going to be out of a job. But that's not really the case. The way you've got to look at it is that you're still going to be needed to make sure everything's okay. So what it will do, it will allow you to be more creative within video production. And I think that's where it's going to go. It's going to, life is going to get easier because, to be honest, doing videos sometimes it can be a bit of a headache. I mean, I've just been doing Dexter's broadcast pack for him. For YouTube, which basically he's got all of his race videos, and so Duncan sends me his race videos, and then we put around it all of the bits and pieces and make it look really, really good. And just trying to get all of that working, that took a while, didn't it? It took quite a few days really to get it. So it still needs a bit of tweaking, doesn't it? So
it does, but it looks, as you say, it brings that element of professionalism to it, whereas obviously I was just playing with sort of a GoPro app and sort of cutting and blending videos for, he's got probably 400 or 500 videos on his YouTube, so there's lots of the early stuff that I did, and obviously you become better at doing it, but then to have someone like Justin come in and actually do it and do it professionally, you can tell the difference in terms of the videos.
It does.
I think using this package that we're going to wrap around it for next season, I think we're going to make some pretty slick videos.
Absolutely. We just got to make sure that we can we can turn them around a bit quicker. I put it all in there into After Effects, and it's what, 10 minutes long. And there's this thing called motion blur that was on, and I set it to render, and it came up on the timer. It said 45 hours, and I'm thinking, what? 45 hours to render? You're having a laugh.
What is rendering anyway for us?
So in motion graphics, we call it cooking. It's basically because you put everything in the pot, and then you turn it on and you cook it, and then it you know, and then bing, and it's done. So it's rendering is basically all of the footage and all of the graphics and all of that.
So fixing it, basically.
No, kind of taking from what you've got on the screen and exporting it to a MP4 file.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what rendering is.
Yeah.
And it was like 45 hours, and I'm like, nah, this is no good. I can't. This is not going to work if we've got to get one out like really quickly. So I had a bit of a mess around with it, and we got it down to 2 hours in the end, didn't we? Which was pretty good. You know, for a 10-minute video. I seriously think I need to upgrade my Mac, though.
All right.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice one. You're going to get a chance to see some of some small bits of Justin's work over the next few days, because he's done some really nice stuff for us on the Bunker Show here, and for the Trading Post and Fruitworks and what have you.
Fruitworks.
So we're going to be pushing those out on social media, so do keep a lookout for those. Yep. There's already a Christmas greeting on the Business Bunker Twitter handle and the Business Bunker Facebook page, so have a look at that as well, that Justin knocked out when he was at a loose end the other day.
Yeah.
So cool. And where do you go from here? What's next on the agenda?
We've been doing a lot of work with agencies over the past year. I suppose after COVID, everything went really quiet.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to be filmed, so we was doing a lot more animation. Live events went to virtual. And unless you had a really decent virtual package with somebody like Vimeo, or that cost God knows how much a month, you weren't doing that anyway. So, we've been doing a lot of work with agencies, which is great. But you know, they tie you into a contract. You know, you're not allowed to say who you're working for, and all.
Sure.
What's it called again? It's a
non-disclosure agreement.
That's it. Yeah, yeah. NDL. Is it
NDA?
Yeah. NDA. That's it. Yeah. Sorry. So NDAs. We've worked with quite a few corporate companies over the last couple of years, and great bits of work that we've done, but I can't tell anyone.
You can't tell anyone.
I can't tell anybody about it. I mean, it's quite funny. years ago, I did a load of work for Wix and BlackBerry, and I had a non-disclosure for both of them. Well, they've expired now, so it's free reign, and I've actually, and Nike as well, and I've actually put all of that. I'm going to put the Wix one up, although it is a bit old, but I probably will put it up there. So I've got the Wix one, the Nike one, which I've put up on their portfolio now, because, you know, and then BlackBerry. The BlackBerry stuff that we did. So we did all the interactive design for this, for the BlackBerry flagship store in Tottenham Court Road back in 2017. So it's literally just before they went bust, I believe. And lovely store it was in Tottenham Court Road. And we did all the AV, all the interactive design for it, all the videos. And now I can say, hey, look, we did all this. And everybody go, and?
And they went bust.
And then they went bust.
Was it something you said?
Spent too much money on making videos.
Yeah. Have you actually watched the film about BlackBerry?
I haven't. I've read some bits and pieces about it.
It's quite an interesting one, really. Yeah. I did watch it, and right at the end, he kind of like goes on all the phones and starts doing stuff to them, and obviously it all goes pear-shaped after that.
It's an instructive thing, that BlackBerry. Blockbusters were another one, the video rental company. Very successful companies that broke the mold. The interesting thing is, with both Blockbusters and BlackBerry, they broke the mold. Yeah, BlackBerry was the only company that had a keyboard on their phone.
Yeah,
which is what made them different and why every corporate got them, because they were easier for email. But because they sold so many and they were in every corporate department ever, they stopped innovating. And when Apple and Nokia came along and went, we could do better than that, they went, no, we've got the market. They hadn't.
No.
And they lost it very quickly.
Yeah.
And same with Nokia. I remember when Nokia was the world's number one mobile phone manufacturer. Now, it was partly the European Union that did for them, because they were a Finnish company. And the European Union got all sniffy and said, oh, you're too dominant. You need to start reining it in again. And within 2 years, they'd gone bust. From the number one supplier of phones to the world to going bust because people don't innovate and all the rest of it.
Nokia,
mobile phone company.
Yeah.
They're owned by Microsoft now.
I had one of the very first Nokia phones, and I've still got it at home.
You can still buy 3310s. You can buy them for like £20, and they're brilliant. They're still brilliant phones. You can throw them at people and all kinds.
I've got one at home. It's a brick. Literally a brick.
Yeah,
it weighs quite a lot. Yeah. It doesn't charge up anymore, but I've kept hold of it as my very first phone.
The very first phone I had was a Motorola 8800.
Well, the one with the cable.
The one with the cable that and it had a box with a phone on top.
Yeah.
And I bought that in 1985, right? And it cost £3,500 then. And you could only phone four people. You could only phone somebody that had one of the, you couldn't phone anyone else. You could only phone another one of those. It was a real, it was
crazy.
It was about 6 foot big, wasn't it?
It's crazy.
But the thing about all of that, BlackBerry, Nokia, all of that kind of stuff, is how very successful companies lose it very quickly because they fail. They either fail to innovate or innovations that compete with them, they poo-poo. That'll never work. And all of a sudden it does. But you'll see the same again. You know, Apple have got to the point where they're very arrogant about what they do. They're going to come a cropper soon when somebody introduces something that takes them out of the market, you know, and because they're not innovating. They just produce, you know, iPhone 93, iPhone 95, and they just tweak it a little bit.
Well, it's been like that for years, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Add an extra camera.
Yeah. Oh, another camera. It'd be like the Gillette blades, wouldn't it? At the moment, you've got nine blades on there at the moment.
Dex is absolutely right. You've got four cameras, five cameras. Next year on the iPhone 16, it'll be seven cameras. And you go, really? I don't even want to take pictures.
The thing is, the iPhone doesn't actually take great photos, though. I mean,
but don't you find that the new iPhone I've got, the video is awful now because it doesn't focus straight away. So I'll go and it's blurry until it then thinks.
You have to tap on the screen sometimes.
I do all that, but it used to do it automatically. But now there's like little bits where it's not focusing. It's really annoying me. You have to give me a lesson.
Sure, okay. It's not your hand moving around.
Yeah. It's because it's sort of shakes. Yeah.
It's the guest faces, I think, probably.
Justin, thank you so much for that, mate.
Yep.
Good to talk to you as always.
Yep.
Wishing you and yours a happy Christmas.
Thank
and a successful
you as well.
2024.
Yep.
We're going to be working closely together in the new year,
we
building this video studio, and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yes.
Give us a shout out for your website so people can check your work.
Yep. So it is www.creativemotion.co.uk. Social media, it is at Creative Motion. And that's it.
Give him a follow on all the things, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Yeah.
Check out his website. But for the moment, Justin, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're kind of fast approaching the end of the show.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted at Tazy64. She says, I love the sound of that DJ set, Justin. Wow, she says. Justin's experiences is an example of education, not always keeping up with the jobs which haven't been created yet. Well done to him for his dedication to realising his career dream.
Thank you.
Forward to seeing the imminent new projects.
Yeah, keep tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Cool. Sorry, I'm just...
I'm going to be listening to some electronica music when I get
home. Are you?
I should go on Spotify.
Are you going to plug yourself into the mains and do some dancing?
Yeah, exactly. I have a lot of playlists, so I'll add them. Careers 3030 event. Inviting you to inspire and prepare students at Canterbury Christ Church University for the world of work. It's at St Augustine's House in Canterbury. It's Wednesday the 21st of February next year, 2024, 3 to 5 p.m. And you're invited up. They're going to have about 30 people from industry and voluntary sector to engage directly with students through a facilitated speed networking and employability workshop. And the skills event will engage up to 60 students aged 18 plus on the under or postgraduate degree programs at Canterbury Christ Church University, and the networking session helps students build their confidence, giving them experience to develop conversations in a safe environment, and enables them to meet a wide range of people from varying business environments. For more details, you can go to hello@bizradio.co.uk. That's the email, hello@bizradio, bizradio.co.uk, or Munya Bads, which is munya.bads@nhs.net.
Looking forward to that. That'll be
our first
university 3030.
Yeah.
We've done 5,000 students in schools so far. Right, we've had a tweet from IS Instruments. And they say, Merry Christmas, Paul and Jules at the Business Bunker Show. Looking forward to hearing you again in 2024. We're listening in now. Tuned in to hear your overly very un-Christmassy rain. Sorry about that. It's our Christmas do tomorrow, and we're off to Chapter 1 in Kent. Oh, I know Chapter 1. That's kind of Orpington, Green Street Green, isn't it?
And they put a lovely photo of them all last year.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a regular thing. So
did you see
enjoy.
All the bottles there?
Sorry?
The bottles behind them, all the wine bottles.
I know. Yeah, do you think they're all for Jesses?
Well, like, I would swivel round and try one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, or four or five, yeah.
Yeah, for me.
Enjoy, have a lovely time, and have a fantastic Christmas. IS Instruments, they do lots of interesting stuff, especially nuclear engineering, which is cool, which is one of my favourite things. Right, I think we've still got some more tweets coming in, but we're almost at the end of the show. The Tenterton Chamber of Commerce, 2 weeks ago, were busy handing out prizes to this year's winners of the Christmas Window Display Competition. The Tenterton Mayor, Councillor Sue Ferguson, kindly adjudicated for us, and we know it was not easy. So many wonderful and creative windows again this year, really adding a festive cheer to the atmosphere. Well done, everyone who received prizes, and thank you again to everyone who took part. So the winners were Rising Star, second was the White Lion, third was ABS Blinds, and then there was a runner-up to that, the Cranbrook Bakery, and Hop, Stitch and Jumper.
I love that name.
Hop, Stitch and Jumper.
Yeah. Were they runners up?
Yes, they were.
Very good. Well done, guys.
Yeah.
I've read all mine, you know. I get on with it, you know.
Do you?
Unlike some.
All right.
Yeah.
Some of us have to work while we're here, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
West Kent Business announces the West Kent Expo 2024. We're delighted to announce West Kent will have a business-to-business expo in 2024. It's going to take place on Thursday the 14th of March at the River Centre, Medway Wharf Road, Tunbridge. And we'll open our doors to welcome businesses of all shapes and sizes from all over West Kent. There's 50 exhibition stand spaces, workshops and plenty of networking opportunities. This will be the place to showcase and celebrate business across the West Kent area. If you'd like to know more about exhibiting there or attending, if you contact by email expo@westkentbusiness.com for details. They're also looking for sponsors. It is free to attend the expo as a guest. If you want to get your free ticket, if you go to westkentexpo24.eventbrite.co.uk. That's westkentexpo24.eventbrite.co.uk.
Go on then, carry on.
Okay.
What else you
it's
got?
It's all right. Just
don't pause.
Just because you're
the best.
Sitting there with your feet up.
Yeah, I've done it all. I might get a brandy out.
You
want to
see a lounge back
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Shame we haven't got mince pies, Justin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you not see the text from me, though,
no.
to say that you was going to bring in your homemade organic ones?
Yeah.
No, I have got some organic ones.
Did
you text me or
tweeted you.
Yeah, I don't see my tweets.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't read them.
You're too busy talking.
No, Elon has ruined my Twitter.
Justin tweeted, is Jules bringing in some organic mince pies?
Never saw it.
And I said, probably not. She doesn't bother these
days. She's probably eaten them.
I said, you're going to need to bring some. So he said, well, I'll pop into M&S on the way over.
I didn't.
They're not just any
so
mince
you
pies,
both,
are they?
You both let me down, basically, is what
I didn't
saying.
Even read it or see it. But Elon, somebody actually WhatsApped me the other day and said, I never see your tweets anymore, Jules, and what's happening? And I asked Ken Heron, who's an expert.
Lucky old M.
Yeah, and he says, Ken says he has to make lists now to see people's tweets or something.
Yeah.
Because of Elon, he's changed it all, unless you pay.
Yes. Well, I was just about to say that, unless you're a subscriber.
Paul and I paid for a while, and it was
It was still rubbish. Even when I paid, it was rubbish.
Yeah.
So I stopped paying.
So
it's still rubbish, but at least it doesn't cost me anything.
But that's why a lot of people have moved over to Threads.
Threads, yeah.
You know, Threads.
I don't know Threads.
Threads is part of
Instagram.
Because I hate Instagram. I hate Instagram.
You?
It's too shouty. It's just... look at me. And also, the censorship on it is unbelievable. If I put anything about vaccine injury, it's censored immediately. Can't reply to posts.
No, you can't.
I don't like Facebook and Instagram, very censored.
Mm.
Whereas Twitter isn't. I have good conversations on Twitter. I don't really have conversations on Instagram.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
Leading southeast law firm Warner Solicitors has been awarded the prestigious Deal of the Year award
he's
for 2023.
He's good, isn't he, reading all the
stuff?
Yeah, he's good. You're good, aren't you, reading it all while I sit here? I've got some Prosecco in my bag. It is Christmas.
You got some what?
Prosecco in my
Have
bag.
You?
It is Christmas, yeah.
You carry it around with you.
Carry on, Paul.
She has it in a flask.
Yeah.
Where was I? Leading southeast law firm Warner Solicitors has been awarded the prestigious Deal of the Year Award 2023 by the Kent Corporate Finance Alliance. These awards recognise the best deals completed by KCFA members during 2023. The firm was commended for its role in acting for Infinity Group on its acquisition of Redkite CRM Limited in September 2023. So, congratulations to Warner Solicitors on another deal completed and your award for doing that thing. A group of corporate businesses in Tunbridge Wells have grouped together to cut through the noise about sustainability and make a real difference by learning from and supporting one another. The initiative is named Amplify, AMPLIFII.
Let's see what they did there.
Yeah. Amplify aims to tap into the collective knowledge and expertise from across different disciplines and sectors to ignite real change together. It's been founded by top 100 law firm Cripps and global brand and digital agency Yo-Yo Design. The group also includes brilliant businesses such as Children's Salon, AXA Health, Handelsbanken and Crow UK, alongside support from Tunbridge Wells Together, the town's business improvement district, and Tunbridge Wells Borough Council. So we'll look out for information from them. Amplify Tunbridge Wells.
Can you spell me the Amplify? Because don't they spell it a different way?
Amplify.
Oh, that's the normal way. Oh, no, with an I.
Yeah.
Not a Y.
Yeah.
Clever, isn't it?
Why?
Clever, isn't it?
Why? Because they used an I.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, clever. Oh. They sat up all night.
Did they?
Yeah.
Have I spelled
amplifying it all.
Right, okay.
With a Y.
With an
I.
With an I.
With an I.
No, no Y.
No.
There's no Y.
He swallowed a fly.
Yeah. It's only an I.
Just to be aware that they've always been like this.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When I interviewed them when it was
Miriam McGurk's book launch.
Yes, you two.
That was supposed to be me you were interviewing. He gatecrashed.
Yeah, but you were boring.
He gatecrashed in his... Do you remember his wearing his Rupert Bear scarf?
Yes, yes, yes.
And we somehow got onto Greek Zorbas and
yeah, it went on for a good 20 minutes, this very short 5-minute interview. Yeah, it was good
it's
fun.
Still though. On YouTube. My family, sometimes when they miss me, they watch it.
Do they?
Yeah, sweet, isn't it? Yeah, they just Google Mummy.
So they can remember what she looked like when she still was young.
Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas I haven't changed at all.
No, not at all.
No.
Still young and ruddy in the face.
Mm.
Bouncy cheeks.
Have you done anything?
A developer behind new plans to regenerate a dockside industrial estate, which could create hundreds of jobs, is asking for people's thoughts. Businesses and residents are being consulted on proposals for an employment and enterprise zone at Chatham Docks. The developer has now unveiled its project for a business campus called Basin 3. It wants to transform the existing brownfield land into 31,000 square metres of adaptable workspace with the opportunity to create hundreds of jobs and apprenticeships. There you go.
Ooh.
Is she not talking to me now?
No, I was just looking at my Twitter feed, which is buzzing. Yeah.
I know, it keeps interfering with my microphone
does
as well.
It?
Yeah.
What, my Twitter feed?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, all afternoon you've been interfering.
Do you know what to do, Paul Andrews?
Turn you off.
No, move your phone away from your microphone.
It's not my phone, it's your phone, and it's your phone in your microphone.
Really?
Ignore
it. Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why? It's on silent.
If I do this...
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mm.
But that's buzzing, is it?
Yeah, when you had it resting on the table, it was reverberating through the table.
I wonder why.
Because you had it resting on the table.
Yeah, but somebody has maybe put a buzz on it, because you can get a buzzing thing and so it buzzes in your pocket.
Makes
your eyes light up.
Somebody snuck in and changed the settings on your phone.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, it's a new phone. I had to change so many things on it, and I lost lots of numbers of people. It's very rude.
Right. Last thing before we go off air. More than 90 new jobs have been created at one of Kent's largest employers. Defence, aerospace and security giant BAE Systems has opened early career opportunities at his Rochester site as part of a national recruitment.